author Susan Cahill helps us escape to the hidden gardens of Paris in a bit on today's Travel with Rick Steves. And an American expat explains why, when people in Paris stare at you, it's their way of showing that they care. Right now, we're looking at how people communicate in France with the authors of The Bonjour Effect, Jean-Benoît Nadeau and Julie Barlow. Julie and Jean-Benoît, it's interesting when you study languages, as you have, that different languages have different fortes and different traits, and they're able to give you an insight into the way that group of people think. What can we derive from the French language that gives us an insight into the French mind?
It's interesting. Because of their education, the French in France have this attitude. They're very purist, so they're trained to have this idea that there's a standard of French and there's a very strong norm. And they admire dictionaries. In conversation, they will hear a word that they don't know, and they'll sort of pick it up like a little butterfly, and they'll put a pin on it into their book. And they sort of collect words like that. It's very odd. They will stop a conversation to ask you about this word and what it means. And it's useful as a stranger, because if you want to change the topic of conversation, you just drop something you know they don't know, and immediately they'll go after that term. But at the same time, they are very creative with their language, even subversive. It's interesting because it's a kind of reaction to their idea of a very strong norm and the school. You know, they will tend to jargon and use a lot of slang.
Right now, they're actually using a lot of English.
They use English right now as a way of doing neology, to add spice. But for example, in normal conversation, they will never say j'ai froid, I'm cold. They will say ça caille. Series of terms like this that are not school French at all.
Okay. It's sort of a declaration of global independence or something, or to break away from the norms?
Yes, exactly.
The rigidity of the language.
I remember a generation ago, businesses were actually given financial penalties if they used English words in their name or in their advertising.
Mm-hmm, English is really quite popular, but the French import it and use it in a way to demonstrate their worldliness or their openness or their sophistication.
I see.
It's interesting. Yeah. But they don't use it necessarily for what it means in English, which is really amusing.
You know, something very interesting in your book, The Story of French, was just digging into the history of this language, which is such an important language. I mean, it may not be spoken by the most people. I think it's number 9 in the number of speakers. But according to your information, it remains one of the top 2 or 3 most influential languages. How could that be? I mean, because, you know, a lot more people speak Mandarin or English or Spanish.
The contrast with Spanish is kind of interesting because there's twice as many Spanish speakers in the world. But Spanish is mainly spoken in the countries where it's spoken as a mother tongue, in the Spanish-speaking countries. French is spoken by many fewer, you know, half as many total French speakers, but they're spread over the entire world. And French is taught all over the world as well. It's still, you know, ranked 2nd or 3rd as an international language.
I understand the Tsar in Russia 120 years ago spoke better French than he spoke Russian, and he was proud of it. I mean, it really was the respected high culture language, the common denominator among educated people and business people, I think.
But most of the rankings that we've studied, one from the MIT, I mean, all of them come up with the same conclusion that amongst international languages, French is 2nd, 3rd, 4th, depending on how you calculate it. And it's because number of speakers is only one factor. In terms of coverage, for example, there's 29 to 32 countries that have French as an official language. That's a lot more than Spanish or Arabic or Portuguese or Russian.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Julie Barlow and Jean-Benoît Nadeau about the story of French and about their book, The Bonjour Effect. Let's go back to the history. I mean, French is, you wrote, it was the most Germanic of the Latin languages. What is Germanic about French?
About 10% of the vocabulary in French is of Frankish origin.
And Frankish would be a Germanic tribe?
Yes, exactly. Terms like guerre, the terms for shame, honte, all these terms are of Germanic origin, not Latin at all. And also the way French constituted itself from Romance. Between Latin and French, there was an intermediate language called Romance that existed. And that language had a strong influence of Germanic in the way that people used the position of words in the sentence and all that.
So if you delve deep into French, you'd find more Germanic connections than you would in Italian or Spanish.
Absolutely.
In your book, you have three thresholds of the development of the language: the fall of Rome, the conquest of England by the Normans, and the rise of Paris as a center of power. Very briefly, can you walk us through why was that a big deal for the French language? The fall of Rome, the conquest of England, and the rise of Paris.
The fall of Rome, I think, was a big deal for all Romance languages in Western Europe. It was a very slow collapse, in fact. What it did was explode Latin into a number of vernaculars, some of which are still practiced nowadays. There's still about 24 regional languages in France, like Occitan. Provençal is a variation of Occitan.
Oh, okay. So when Rome was together, when Rome was the center of civilization, it was all centralized and Latin was strictly the official language. But when that falls, all of these pent-up local dialects can have a little more freedom to rise to the top?
Exactly. So French exploded that way.
How about the invasion of England by the Normans from Western France in 1066?
Yes.
What did that have to
yes.
do with the French language?
Well, what it did is the most visible example of how, not quite French, it's more proper to speak of Romance, exported itself outside of its natural original domain, which was Normandy, Champagne, Orléans, and north of Picardy. French exported itself a long time ago as a global language.
And it implanted itself in English. You know, the ruling classes of English for centuries will be speaking French. So, you know, you'll see that in the vocabulary of English now.
Because that was a turning point in Britain to have a strong central government, which happened because of the strength of the Normans who came in with their culture and language in the 11th century. And then later on, we see Paris rising as the center of power. And that really sort of centralizes France around Paris.
Yes. What happened in the middle of that process is that what was called François, which is the language of the Frank, literally means that. Frankish, if you want to translate it in English. And in fact, it didn't exist. It was a kind of scripta, a common language between areas that spoke Norman, Orleanese, Champenois, and Picard. And they sort of created a sort of middle language where they avoided the stuff that the others could not understand. This became the sort of middle language.
Like a lingua franca.
Like a lingua franca. I actually experimented the process because I went to Jersey Island, where they still speak Norman. And I spent 4 days with people who spoke Norman, and this is exactly what we did. I spoke with my Canadian version of French, and they spoke with their Norman Romance language. And we sort of avoided very rapidly everything that the others could not understand.
You wrote in your book how after the revolution in the 1790s, of 28 million French people, less than half of them spoke French well. There was like 30 dialects. But then with the impetus of the revolutionary government centralizing things, that was just the time when French became established as the powerful language of this powerful country.
Yes, and it's interesting. I mean, to go back to your earlier question about what language says about the French themselves, it's fundamental to understand that, you know, France up until World War I, even to a certain extent up until World War II, is a very linguistically diverse country with a missionary education system trying to, you know, get rid of all the local languages, dozens and dozens of them, and create this central. So language becomes, for the French, really part of their national identity. And the whole doctrine of assimilation that the French have very strongly, which is a very big contrast to the United States and to Canada as well. This doctrine of assimilation is also about language and about this history of, you know, from the revolutionary government on. In fact, before that, centuries before that, there are attempts to, you know, impose French. And, you know, the French people really believe their language is alive and creating a society.
Julie Barlow and Jean-Benoît Nadeau wrote The Bonjour Effect to help us better converse in France. They also explore how the French and Spanish languages developed in The Story of French and The Story of Spanish. Julie has blog entries about rude French waiters and news about their new book, Going Solo, Absolutely Everything You Need to Become Your Own Boss. It's on their website, nadeaubarlow.com. And Nadeau is spelled N-A-D-E-A-U. Alinda from Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania, joins us on the line on Travel with Rick Steves. Bonjour, Alinda.
Bonjour. I was going to talk about an experience I had when I traveled to Paris, if that's okay.
Sure.
Before I went, I had spoken to the concierge at the hotel asking for help in getting tickets for the opera and the ballet and a few other things. And I would start off trying to speak French every time he would answer the phone. And then he'd say, no, you can speak English. But as soon as I arrived at the hotel and I started to speak English to him, because I recognized it was the same person I had spoken to, he says, oh, no, you're in France. You have to speak French. So I said, well, what if I don't know the word? He says, well, you can say, comment dit-on, and the English word, but other than that, you must speak French. So it was actually really quite fun. My accent was never very good when I studied French in college, but it obviously improved when you were speaking nothing but French. And mm-hmm. I got to the point where we had breakfast at the hotel, so I would speak to the servers in French. And at the table next to me were some people who were conversing with each other in English, and they asked me a question in very halting French about something. So knowing that they were speaking English, I responded to them in English rather than in French, and their comment was, oh, your English is so good.
Yeah.
So I said, thank you. You know, I didn't want to embarrass them by saying I'm an English speaker.
Good for you, Elinda. That's a good example of really connecting with the culture. What was the word that the man told you? Comment dit-on?
Comment dit-on? How does it said? Am I pronouncing? I may be pronouncing it wrong.
That's great.
That's good.
You say it absolutely right.
Well, those are good tips, Elinda. Thanks for your call.
Oh, you're welcome. Good to talk to you, and it was very interesting listening to your show.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
William's calling in from Miami in Florida. Hi, William.
Hi. Yeah, I like to go to France every other, year or so, and I've been studying French for a few years. I'm in no way fluent, but the French seem to find me impossible to understand, when I try to speak to them. In Lyon last year, I stopped the guy on the street and asked him, the direction to the museum, and then he said, excusez-moi, so I repeated it. Then he said in English, it kind of exasperated, he said, what are you trying to say to me? I said, I'm asking where the art museum is. He said, well, it's right down the street. I said, is my French that bad? He goes, no, it's fine. And he ran off.
Oh, man. What is with that? Yeah, Julien Saint-Benoît, because I've found the same thing. I do my best in my horrible French, and of course the French speak better English. So they just said, stop screwing around. Let's talk in English.
I was wondering if they appreciate your attempt to try to speak French, or would they prefer we just stick to English?
No, I think they do appreciate a lot.
They do, but they have this culture of correcting each other, right?
Like
it's a cultural thing.
And we shouldn't take it personally.
No, never take it personally. I mean, it's just
the way they've always been nice.
Yeah,
but I think William's question is good. Are they sort of put off by our butchering their language? But if we're well-meaning, they respect it.
Yes, exactly, and they're glad and. Their idea is to show you a courtesy by answering in English. If you insist on speaking French, they will respect that. But that said, they do have a culture of very good enunciation. And they have an expression that is a bit odd and even awful. It's when someone speaks very good French, they will say un français bien châtié, well-chastised French.
Whoa.
Which means, so they have this idea that you have to honor French by speaking it as best as possible.
The funny thing is, that's not just for foreigners. That's for the French themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, they correct each other all the time. They correct us with our accent.
Well, I love that idea that they respect the language. And your comment earlier about a new word to be like a little butterfly. Let's grab it and pin it to the wall and study it. And I do think that Americans have an accent that must grate against the French ear. I don't know. They must find it almost cartoonish American compared to the Queen's English in Britain.
I'm originally from Texas. That might be part of the problem.
All right. Hey, well, William, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Bye now.
And Karen is calling from France. Hello.
Yeah. Hi, Rick.
You're actually calling from France?
I am. I'm in Biarritz, France right now.
All right. Well, how are you doing in, this is Basque country in France, right?
That's correct. Yeah, doing great.
All right. What's your thoughts about the language and the discussion we're having?
Well, as an American, we always hear about how kind of some of the things you guys are talking about, how the French can be kind of cold, and a lot of people kind of debate, well, is that the Parisian thing or is it French? And, if I try to speak, one time I pulled out the few words of French that I know and they immediately switched to English and they had this, exasperated look on their face and I felt dumb for even trying. And I've always had good experiences in Paris, but here in the Basque country and in Biarritz where I live, people are so over the top friendly. I live with my girlfriend here, and all the time we find ourselves telling each other, you know, it couldn't be further from the truth that the French are inhospitable or cold or anything. We just have every day the most amazing just kind of examples of bumping into people and hospitality and warmth. And people just are so excited when you are making an effort to speak in French. And it's just been a pleasure getting to speak French here.
But you're showing interest and respect to the local language and culture, and that probably wins people over. And if we can just not compare it to the United States and not try to tell the French how to do it, but just become temporary French people, I think life goes much better and we enjoy a lot warmer welcome.
Exactly. Mm. Also, it's kind of like a funny paradox where the French are so proud of their language. Almost 10 years ago now, I went to school in Po, which is about an hour from here, and I studied in the language program. And it kind of was a dual-purpose language program where foreigners learned French, and then the local kids learned how to become French teachers. And it was really interesting kind of seeing from the inside that there really are a lot of people who are very passionate about the language. You know, it used to be true that French was spoken all over the world, and it's a little bit less so now. And they were just, they were kind of evangelists, you know, that they were passionate about going out there and kind of helping bolster the language again. And even if you butcher the language and if you speak it terribly, almost in kind of like a self aggrandizing way, they say, oh, well, the thing is, French is so hard. It's a really complicated language. It's very difficult. It's almost impossible for foreigners to learn. So they almost like extend that olive branch where, you know, they kind of get to pat themselves on the back, but then throw you a life raft at the same time. So then you just kind of agree with them and you go, oh, yeah, yeah, it's really hard, but it's so beautiful. So it's worth the effort and I'm really enjoying it. And then everybody kind of lights up and it works out in your favor.
All right. Well, Garen, thanks so much and happy travels and stay in touch.
Thank you very much.
Take care. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Julie Barlow and Jean-Benoît Nadeau. Their books are The Bonjour Effect and The Story of French. Julie and Jean-Benoît, it's been so not only interesting but educational for me to be able to talk with you about both the language and the culture of France. Now, clearly you have a joy of speaking French. Can you just sum up our conversation, sharing for you what's the joy of speaking French?
For me, the joy, I mean, I was handicapped a little feeling at, when I began living in France by the feeling that my French wasn't perfect. And then I realized that the real pleasure of it is just jumping into conversations. You can say anything to the French and they'll come back with something. You don't have to beat around the bush or worry about polite things. And I think that the real challenge to overcome in France is this love of confrontation, of clashing opinions. For me, that's the fun. I feel like it's a sport. It's a game.
There's the joy of speaking French and there's the joy of speaking the French way, which is not quite the same thing.
All right. Julie and Jean-Benoît, merci and au revoir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Au revoir.
On the left bank, Saint-Germain-des-Prés, many young existentialists sitting in the cafes with one cup of coffee and one croissant and talking of love. But they do not say, je vous aime, or je t'adore. No, 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 no. They say in a Parisian jive talk, ah, oh, ce qu'on est bien.
You'll find more with Julie and Jean in our show archives at ricksteves.com/radio. We look for the Hidden Gardens of Paris. That's next on Travel with Rick Steves.